You are listening to Afterlife, written and read by Maximilian Defoe. Episode 3, Hide and Seek. In a grouping of furniture furthest away from the stairs stood a king-sized bed. It looked like a lot of care had gone into the styling of this bed, but it hadn't. Jimmy had pointed at a bed styled exactly like it at Neiman Marcus and told the clerk that he wanted to buy two of everything. It looked phenomenal, but it was probably dusty. Jimmy pounded the mattress with his fist. No dust, or very little. Either somebody had been sleeping down here in his old room, or the room had been expertly cleaned and rarely visited by people. All dust was bits of flakes of skin. No people, no animals, no dust. Jimmy yanked back the comforter. Navy blue sheets. He tore the top sheet back to look for sex stains. None. In the drawer of the nightstand, at the side of the bed, was a box of condoms, but they weren't expired yet. He'd gotten excited when he'd seen them, hoping that he'd be able to glean some information about his last encounter by the expiration date. No such luck. Under the mattress, Jimmy found a loaded firearm and a dog-eared W magazine featuring a woman laying on her back, sucking on a candy cane, wearing nothing but artfully placed snowdrifts on the cover. And some lube. Well, hello. He got down on his knees and lifted the bedskirt. As he suspected, there was no dust under there either. However, he did see some shapes and silhouette which he reached into the shadows to retrieve. A few more skin mags, but this was lighter stuff. King magazine, a Victoria's Secret catalog, and a holiday issue of Inked. All of the covers featured women in Christmas uniforms of some kind. The last time he'd been down here, it must have been around Christmas. He looked at the year on the catalog, 2010. The last time he'd been down here on his own steam, he'd been at least 35 years old. Jimmy slid the things back into the slit between the mattress and box spring, and back beneath the bed where he'd found them. As he dragged his hand back out from under the bed, his hand touched something, cool and soft. His eyes must have passed it over, unseeing. He clawed the plush carpet to drag the thing from beneath the bed into the light. It was a tiny red pillow in the shape of a heart. It was engraved. On one side, it said, "I love you." The other side was engraved with the designer's name, Marc Jacobs. Jimmy's heart sank, and all the sounds in Jimmy's consciousness receded, and in that space left open, a notion bloomed, a remembering. The heart by Marc Jacobs had been a gift from a girl named Taryn, who, he was sure, had been in love with him, but he'd let her go. Actually, he'd done more than that. He'd pushed her away. He hadn't been rude about it, but his disengagement had been abrupt, which he knew had hurt her. His sudden disinterest had to have come as a surprise. By all accounts, the weeks before, he'd been feeling differently toward her. As far as women go, Taryn was a dream. She never complained, was a willing spirit, and had a fun personality. But that wasn't all. Taryn was stunningly beautiful. There were so many beautiful girls in Los Angeles. Even so, Taryn was definitely a head-turner. She wasn't a 10, a strong 9, 9.5 maybe. She wasn't a professional model, but she looked like one. On Instagram, people wouldn't know the difference. When they'd first met, Jimmy's life situation hadn't been very settled. He was living paycheck to paycheck, essentially, and sharing a small apartment with two other guys. The car he drove was something just a half step above a beater. He'd kept it clean, which was the reason, Jimmy assumed, she'd never made any comments about his childish-looking, shitty, embarrassing car when he took her out. Even though, he could tell, it wasn't the kind of ride she was used to. On their first date, the movies, they sat comfortably touching each other. When, as they shared the armrest, their forearms touch, Jimmy simply picked up her hand and held it in his own, allowing her to stretch her arm out across his legs. Walking around downtown among the weekend crowds at City Center, they held hands, a promising start. They had chemistry. Taryn made Jimmy laugh, and while not a natural comedian, when he was with Taryn, Jimmy was effortlessly funny. His humor genuinely appreciated. The laughs were nonstop. They were at ease together, and every place they went, people stopped to compliment them on their relationship. "You look so happy together. I've never seen such a beautiful couple. What? Only a second date? When's the wedding?" No matter where they went, they'd be at some point treated to a similar conversation, but with different people. Depending on where they were, it would happen between twice and several times at any one venue. Each time it did, he and Taryn would laugh as if it were the first time they'd heard that, and he'd kiss her. Jimmy never tired of the exchange. When the holidays came, Jimmy went out of town. While he was out of town, he hooked up with a beloved but toxic ex-girlfriend, fell back in love with her, and had gotten dumped. He returned home and stoked his ego with a few ill-conceived, intensely sexual relationships with women who were attractive, but that he didn't care much for right on the heels of his flight back into town. And even though he'd promised he would, Jimmy didn't call Taryn to say he was back when he returned to Los Angeles. He didn't call to tell her anything, letting months go by. Wounded pride had funneled all but two things from Jimmy's mind: money and new pussy, as much of both as he could get. Between the money he made doing special events, catering, and modeling jobs, he could afford to go to Skybar to buy himself and a few ladies drinks if he wanted, but a few drinks didn't go very far. On what he was earning, bottle service was out of his price range at any venue. He switched his routine bar hopping to strictly meeting women online. This cost him no money up front, but they'd usually end up at a restaurant afterward. Jimmy wasn't a cheapskate. He wouldn't let his dates pay, so he'd end up in a similar situation, feeling pressed for cash. After a time or two, most women got bored with his stay-at-home dates and started seeing some other guy. Without more money, Jimmy realized that he'd always end up losing to the other guy. The guy with more money, a better car, better clothes, the guy who could give his girl more expensive and more frequent presents, afford better restaurants, that guy. Jimmy was tired of losing to that guy. Jimmy wanted to be that guy. So he'd neglected his budding romance with Taryn, changed his career track, and gotten a job selling life insurance. It wasn't what he wanted, didn't fit in at all with the image Jimmy had of himself, but he was tired of feeling just to the right side of broke. He had always managed to make enough money for bills and to pay for his apartment, but rent in L.A. had never been cheap. So when Jimmy's lease was up, he took the house his father left him off the market and moved back to the old neighborhood. Thanks to a regularly occurring paycheck and not having to pay rent, his expenses were suddenly less than a quarter of what they'd been in previous months. For the first time in a long time, Jimmy had a lot of extra cash. He poured money into renovating his parents' old house and leased a black BMW. Once Jimmy traded his street racer-themed Acura with its crazy tail and racing stickers for some grown-up wheels, the quality of woman that became interested in whatever he was talking about increased dramatically. 10 and a half, 11. There were several women he'd met, liked, and was already having sex with that were less challenging to be with, lived closer to him, and were hotter than Taryn. It hadn't been an emotional line of reasoning, rather a series of decisions he'd let his ego make. His dick served as counsel, and he judiciously come to the conclusion that Taryn wouldn't be getting any more of his time. He didn't bother to call. What would have been the point? "Hello, I'm just calling to say that I'm probably never going to call you again." He was single, and well within his rights to make the choices he had, but he unexpectedly felt ashamed about the way he'd behaved. Unlike some of his actor friends who'd gotten catfished with a comedic frequency, Jimmy had been pretty fortunate when it came to his online dating experiences. Most of the women he'd hooked up with and gone out with had worked out just fine. Some of them had even been just as hot in person as they appeared to be in their profile photos. But he could tell. Their combined spirits weren't generating the loving energy he'd feel for hours after seeing Taryn. Several months passed, almost a year. Random hookups came and went. Jimmy wasn't ever lonely. But in those quiet moments alone in the shower, he knew his dating experiences weren't anything to be proud of when he looked at the big picture. Hashtag dimes only, hashtag down to fuck, and hashtag no strings attached were good for hooking up. Most of the women he met online were fine enough to hang out with afterward, and he did take them out on dates occasionally, but it was never the same kind of good time he'd had with Taryn. So when he logged into Facebook, they were still friends, and saw that it was her birthday, he jumped at the chance to reconnect. Women like Taryn rarely gave second chances. They didn't have to. So he didn't have high hopes. Jimmy knew he had fucked up his thing with her by not calling her for months, but he'd popped up on her Facebook page to wish her a happy birthday anyway. When she responded to his Facebook message, Jimmy immediately called her up and asked her out. Even though she didn't say anything about it, he knew she hadn't forgotten how he'd dropped out on her the year before. Wanting her to see a better side of himself, he was eager to show her that he had a lot more to offer this time around. Not only would he now be able to take her to the kinds of places she was used to, this time they could spend romantic weekends away together, and he could really show off. He was sure the only thing she liked him for was himself, but it didn't matter. He knew she liked him a lot when they'd spent time together before. All he needed was for her to see him again, and things would be all right. And they were. When Jimmy and Taryn reconnected, she didn't ask what he'd been doing or why he never called. They just picked up where they'd left off. 2 weeks later, he'd lay in her bed with her pillows behind his head, imagining himself in a relationship with Taryn. It wasn't the first time he'd had these feelings, and he told her right there, right then, how he'd been feeling, and let her know that it was in his plans for them to spend a lot more time together. And he meant it. At the time. He'd confessed. He'd spent the past years being busy, but not really happy. He felt he was wearing himself down, not leading the life he knew he wanted to lead and tired of waiting for it to happen. He'd changed his ideas about what kind of life he wanted. She'd said that she understood. He told her about his epiphany. He could have a great life right now by making a few changes in the way he was doing things. He had found a way he could pursue his dreams and have financial stability. He'd changed his life plan and become a career man, had officially downgraded his acting career, telling his agents that he was only available to audition for national commercials and principal roles. Not that he'd actually been getting auditions for these things just yet, but he would. He was starting to dress better and get more expensive haircuts since he was finally making money. He'd signed up for an acting intensive at the Howard Fine Studio and booked a photo shoot for some new headshots with Jeff Fasano. It was only a matter of months before he would be getting his makeup touched up on set. He was only going to focus on the cream jobs, the jobs he really wanted, from now on. No more low-budget, no-budget, non-union commercials or walk-on roles, which, even when he was featured, was just background work, really. And anyway, he wasn't going to be able to create his dream lifestyle by pretending to sip shamrock shakes in the background of a McDonald's commercial, no matter how many times it aired. But he didn't have to wait for his acting career to take off to have a good life, he told her. He was going to schmooze his way up the insurance company roster, manage his sales team into top position, and he had to have someone to take on the all-inclusive first-class trips to warm places he'd be winning for his top sales at work. The first incentive trip for high sales was to Hawaii. He'd asked her if she wanted to go with him. She said she did. He almost couldn't believe himself as he lay with her sharing his thoughts and plans. It had felt so good to see her again. He'd almost told her he'd missed her when they'd been apart, but hadn't, even though it was true. He'd told her a lot that night, but he'd forgotten. He'd also forgotten that Taryn, unlike the other women he'd been dating, actively listened to him and would remember everything he said, not to use against him later, but as an actual matter of interest. On the evening of their second date since reconnecting, and in spite of his enthusiastic messages to her all week long, saying he was looking forward to seeing her, he'd canceled a few hours before he was supposed to pick her up, effectively ending their romantic relationship. Jimmy gave the small leather heart a squeeze and let off a sigh of remorse. Taryn hadn't been his girlfriend, but she had been generous and loving, from the very beginning treating him like a boyfriend, and more importantly, respecting him like a friend, even in the end. She hadn't blamed him for ruining her weekend, or called him names, or asked him to explain himself. Not even the lies that he knew, she knew, he had told. He'd called her up and given her some half-truth story about being needed to do a last-minute table reading of a short film for some female friend, saying that he'd be too tired afterward to drive to Taryn's place, that he didn't know when he'd be done. He didn't want to keep her waiting, even though it was a Friday night. He had some work he wanted to catch up on Saturday morning at the office, and didn't want to stay up too late, he'd lied. It was better for him, he'd told Taryn, as he drove from his last appointment toward his new upgraded date, to just cancel their whole date night. He'd heard his own voice talking nonsense, sounding strained but upbeat, to give off the impression that he was excited to do whatever acting gig he'd supposedly promised this random female friend from his old acting class that he'd step in and do for free in Santa Monica at 9 o'clock that night after working all week instead of heading downtown, unwinding in Taryn's jacuzzi, smoking weed, and spending the rest of the night giggling together, fucking probably twice that night and again in the morning, and falling asleep with his arms around her. They always fell asleep that way, until the two of them woke up hungry and headed out to Good Earth for multigrain pancakes. Taryn had responded to Jimmy's obvious lie with a long silence. It was as if she had pulled her loving energy out of and away from him, sucking it back into herself via the fiber optic data line. In that silence, he knew, although at the time he told himself that it didn't matter, since he didn't want her, that he'd violated her trust, and that he'd likely not see her smile at him the same way ever again. He could tell by her silence that she knew he wasn't being straight with her. It was the first time a woman he'd been dating had seen through his bullshit. When she finally did speak, she'd sounded far more disappointed than he'd expected. It had startled him. His ego swelled to hear how sad she'd sounded on the phone, until she commented something like,
"Last time we spoke, you told me you'd given up doing bit parts and free acting gigs."
It was true. He had. Yet here he was, supposedly racing to Santa Monica, excited to do a free table read for some no-name short film production. He'd fumbled. The thoughtlessly constructed lie was so glaring, it made accusations painfully unnecessary. Taryn wasn't stupid. There was no way to twist his story into anything respectable. He'd backpedaled right off a cliff. He knew that Taryn knew that he lied, and he reasoned she was intelligent enough to guess the reason why. Jimmy had been in relationships before where he had told lies. There was a confrontation, but no hard evidence, only suspicious behavior. His girlfriend had forgiven him. But the relationship had never felt the same to him after that, so Jimmy decided to make a clean break from his shame by telling Taryn point blank that he thought it would be better if they didn't see each other again. Her response was another long silence. He'd actually had to say,
"Hello?"
She was still there. Jimmy thought at the time that she might be crying, but in case she was, he didn't want to know about it, so he didn't ask. When he'd hung up with Taryn, he'd felt some relief that it hadn't been a particularly long or painful conversation, but something within his chest receded. It wasn't a good feeling, and it was particularly not a good feeling to have associated with Taryn. Jimmy felt deflated, but that only lasted for a second. He had a date with the model that he'd met at Chipotle. It was the reason he'd told Taryn the lie. Jimmy had turned off his phone once he arrived at the address to pick up his date, expecting a barrage of tearful calls and angry text messages from Taryn. None ever came. He'd picked the woman up, ravished her with his eyes, taken her to Sushi Roku in Santa Monica to eat some expensive but delicious sushi, then taken her to her apartment and ravished her body. It had been exactly what he had wanted, but the winning feeling didn't last. When he called the model chick for a second date, she told him without apology that she had a boyfriend. Weeks later, he'd reached out to her again. She still had the same boyfriend, but they'd gone out on a few more dates anyway. The restaurant changed each time, but otherwise it was the same experience. Food someplace trendy. Sex at her apartment. Long fucking wait. Jimmy had the feeling she went on dates and fucked other guys when her boyfriend was out of town or made her mad. She was just using Jimmy to get back at some other guy. He recognized the irony of his choice to end things with a could-have-been-awesome girlfriend to pursue this woman who was openly just using Jimmy as placeholder text. Of course, considering what she was using him for and how, he didn't really mind, but he could have told Taryn some version of the truth, but he hadn't, and for no good reason. He could have even just gone out with the other girl another night. He didn't have to hang Taryn out to dry like that. Why had he been such a jerk? Taryn had been respectful, hadn't told him, "Lose my number," or anything, during the extremely short breakup conversation, but Jimmy could tell that the jig was up by the shortness of her text replies when he messaged her a few months later. It could have been that she was just busy when she'd seen his message come through, but he didn't think that was it. She'd always made time for him in the past, even when she was in the middle of something. "I always have time for you." When he'd sent the first text asking how she was and what she'd been up to, he'd been slightly surprised at the length of time it took for her to finally message him back. 2 weeks. He'd had to message her a second time before she finally replied, hours later, and when she did, he could not get over the obvious lack of warmth in her response. It was then that the idea first occurred to him that he may have fucked things up for himself in a way he hadn't anticipated. He'd intended to free himself up to date all the other women he'd been meeting, but Jimmy hadn't meant to break ties with Taryn forever. However, it was clear now that Taryn didn't have any interest whatsoever in even associating with him anymore, which was what he should have reasonably expected in retrospect. But at the time, and apparently without a reason, Jimmy had assumed that he could have her friendship a la carte if he just let some time pass by. A few months after the ice cubes she'd sent as a reply to his text message, he'd seen Taryn out in public and approached her. She was polite, but didn't ask about how he was doing or what was new in his life. She didn't extend any invitations, mention any details about herself, or suggest that they catch up sometime. He'd called her one time some days after that, but purposely hung up before she could answer, figuring that if she wanted to talk to him, she now had an excuse to call him back. She wasn't arrogant, but he could tell by her staunchness in leaving him entirely alone that she had her pride. She didn't call him back, though. After that, he'd emailed asking for the best way to reach her. She emailed back saying that email is fine. He'd emailed again asking if she had the same phone number, but she never replied. He must have been high, thinking that such trite bullshit was going to gain him access back into her life. He should have just picked up the phone, called Taryn, begged for her friendship if he had to, and apologized. The closest he'd ever come to that was looking at her number on the screen of his iPhone. Not surprisingly, it wasn't enough. Nothing he could say to her would ever be enough. He'd already had his second chance. They were finished. He'd never again met a woman he'd liked as much as he'd liked Taryn. There were probably others like her out in the world. That was pure logic. But if they were in Los Angeles, Jimmy hadn't met them. And probably, he figured, judging by the way he treated Taryn, he didn't deserve to.